For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, you Notre Dame homer.
Man, you're coming out with that type of energy over here, Blake. I mean,
you wore Notre Dame gear three shows in a row.
No, it was two shows. What did I wear on last Wednesday? I don't remember.
A Notre Dame sweatshirt.
Hey, man, just because I like wearing the sweatshirt and it's comfortable, you can't hate on that.
You wear, like, you don't wear LSU gear every single show, like three quarters of the shows that we do. I know you're not wearing LSU gear right now, but don't act like it.
We're sponsored by Home Field Apparel. Use the promo code Ruffino Joe. Get 15% off your order.
I wear my Rutgers and my Idaho gear more than I wear the Notre Dame home field gear or just the general Notre Dame gear that I wear.
Sure. All right. Good to have you in here, though, buddy. We got lots to talk about. Listen, we had a lot of a pretty spirited debate about our first topic. Bill O'Brien is back in the news. Could be staying put in the New England area. Could be the next coast of Boston College. Are you surprised it could be trending that way? And let me ask you, is it better to be the head coach of Boston College or the OC at Ohio State?
I want to wait to get to this because there's a lot of factors that come into play here for specifically Bill O'Brien that a lot of people don't know about. And I think that we need to talk about.
You're talking about his son?
Yeah, his.
That's right.
I'll save to talk about it, but it is related to a son who has a developmental disorder that I think is leading to this. But I think the better pivot here is like, where does Ohio State go if this does go through? And I think it's pretty likely that this does go through. Where does Ohio State stand? They were in a perfect position because they pursued him and they got him and they signed him. And him being their offensive coordinator got Julian Sand to come there because Julian Sand talked about how important it was for Bill O'Brien. And that was why he wanted to make that transition. And now he's gone. He can't leave again. That would be ridiculous if he did, but what direction do they go in as these options are really starting to dwindle?
So look, I don't think it's as big of an issue for Ohio State as it is for Bill O'Brien to go to Boston College. And so with that being said, because Ryan Day can call plays. Mm-hmm. Like at the end of the day, can I be honest?
Yeah.
I don't know if he shouldn't. And I'm gonna talk on that a little bit. Because let me tell you something that I did today. Actually, this morning at 5:30. Because when I saw the stuff that Bill O'Brien might be going to Boston College, you know what I did? I went and popped in the Ohio State Georgia game. Mm. Dude, what do you mean he can't call plays?
It's a good point. It's a good point. I just don't know if it's apparent now with the fact that he gave the duties to Brian Hartline and then goes and hires a play caller, not an offensive coordinator, a play caller in Bill O'Brien, that he's trying to push this responsibility off his plate. And
he's trying to be more CEO, and I get it.
Well, he's also trying to alleviate blame on himself. Like, let's call it what it is. He doesn't want that fully on his shoulders. It's easier to take a little blame off if things are going poorly. It's not all on him. It's also a number of things. It's the defense, offense, and whatnot. But I feel like they're trying to go in a direction where it ends up being somebody else. And maybe it's Moorhead that we talked about. Maybe it's Light.
they're just not in dire need if O'Brien leaves. He's a good play caller. They're just not in dire need. Like, it's not going to kill him. Ryan Day can call plays. But I will tell you, the next coordinator hire that we'll talk about, I got to admit, is got to be one of the more head-scratching things that has ever happened in college football for me.
But and not like
start off this segment.
You're gonna lick your lips like a weirdo. Look, this is not one of those ones where I'm like, disgusting. Oh my god, what the hell happened here? It's like
that's disgusting.
I mean, he's on a different level, man. He's on a different mental plane than everybody else is. Just one of those guys
talking about Steve Belichick, the new DC of Washington.
It's a weird move, not in a bad way, but just in a way where it's like
Seattle's a weird place.
He fits.
I mean, it fits. I mean, Seattle's weird. He's weird. It might be a match made in heaven.
It might work for that reason. But in all seriousness, though, that whole Arizona to Washington staff, a lot of those guys are coming from the NFL. So it doesn't surprise me that this is the direction that they're going in is that they're trying to build an NFL staff. And maybe in the modern game, if you want to succeed, you need guys that know how to manage personalities and have been in those locker rooms and understand the professionalism that it is now. So this could work out. This could be a really, really underrated move that we could be talking about at the end of the season.
Yeah, we could. And look, either it's going to work glowingly well or it's going to fall flat on its face. I don't think that there's going to be a lot of middle ground. There is one thing I will say about this. Let's not act like Steven Belichick doesn't know defense.
Oh, yeah.
The issues that happened in New England, with all due respect to everybody else, were more on his dad than him.
Okay? It was roster management. It wasn't X's and O's.
Was not X's and O's. They got out executed. They didn't get out coached. They didn't get out X and O'd. They got out personnelled. So, yeah. We'll talk on that, but it is a head scratcher. I thought that Steve Belichick would stay in the NFL. He is not. Good for him, though, man. Go make your own name for yourself. Get out of the shadow and go do what you have to do. And Joe, we'll wrap it up here too. The Pac-2 and the playoff, baby. The Pac-2. The Pac is still alive. It's still alive. Are they going to make the playoff?
This is something that is going to, I think, be talked about a lot over the next month as the future of the 12-team playoff is solidified, whether we're going to have a 5 and a 7 format or if we're going to still maintain the 6 and 6. And this is kind of the opening discussion for it before we get that decision is, are we leading towards the Pac-12 getting pushed or the Pac-2 getting pushed out of having an auto bid, which I think most sane college football fans would say, yes, they do not deserve to get their own auto bid.
They do not. I will say this, though. Okay. If you're bringing up other group of five teams to Power Five, who's to say that the Pac-2 can't bring some Mountain West teams and they can't be a power conference?
Because I feel like they would have done that already. I feel like that would have happened.
Let's just say hypothetically they do it. Let's say Boise State and San Jose State or whoever. I mean, what's the difference in Boise State doing it and SMU doing it?
Well, part of and this stems from a CBS Sports article that I sent you this morning. I mean, part of what was talked about is them trying to buy time. Them buying time could have been trying to communicate and figure out the Pac-12 becoming the Mountain West, becoming this conference, and then them having an auto bid. But I just don't know if, even if that does happen, if the Mountain West becomes the Pac-12, is that a desirable product for the college football playoff to give an automatic selection bid to? I would say you can make the argument for it, but I would lean no.
I tend to lean and agree with what you're saying, but I mean, you're 1,000% sure that the Big 12 is going to bring something desirable? And let me throw just another scenario out at you. Okay. And stay with me. What happens when Liberty's got to face Georgia next year in the first round of the playoff?
Well, that's what I don't want. You know, well, I really to have an auto bid for them at all.
Joe, it doesn't matter what you want. They've got it.
Yeah.
There's going to be one group of five team at number 12. It doesn't matter what we want. So you could say all the live long day, excuse me, you don't want the Pac-2 in there. Well, you're giving the group of five one.
Well, that's the whole argument here is we don't want to have to put two undeserving teams in. That's the whole situation that we're going to discuss.
There's going to be a lot of undeserving teams.
Liberty is on a different playing field of undeserving of getting to play in the college football.
I'll guarantee you this. Mark my words.
Okay.
In December of this year, we're going to look up and say that there's four undeserving teams that are in the playoff.
And all four of those teams are going to be better than the G5 team that gets to play. They're going to be double-digit point favorites over whatever G5 team that is.
And you know what we're going to do? We're going to fight over semantics on who should be 12. And then
we're
going to bark on should there be a 16-team playoff.
Damn right we are, Blake. I mean, I'm prepared for it. I know it's going to happen. Someone's going to get screwed, and then there's going to be a hissy fit. That's what happens every single year.
Where are we going? What are we doing? Sometimes I just ask myself, what are we doing? And I don't have an answer.
It's a great question.
Well, I know what Ruffino and Joe Show is about to do. We're about to go to a break because we got lots to discuss. Let's do this, Joe. Let's talk about our good friends at betonline.ag. Everybody do us a favor. Flu is catching up with me right now.
You good over there?
Not really. Everybody do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Share all those social media groups. If you're on Facebook, share all your social media pages. You're watching us, listening to us on YouTube. Like, subscribe, and notification bell wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate, review, and subscribe. We greatly appreciate all of you doing that. Let's talk about our good friends at betonline.ag. Bill O'Brien to Boston College. Is that happening? We talk about that next. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag. Which sparks me to ask the question. I think about this because Steve Sarkisian quote tweeted it. Did you see this thing from LeBron James this weekend? The things that he had about it doesn't matter about the cars, the money, the women. You got
the thing with the Hornets.
Yeah. Can I tell you something? Everybody looks at a guy like LeBron, Michael, Brady, Manning, all these big time icons. You know what we never really talk about? Like, actually, we never talk about the work that they put in. Like, we are talking heads on a podcast / TV show, and we never talk about, bro, did you see LeBron's workout today? Or did you see?
We don't see it.
Well, they post it like on Instagram and Snapchat and those kinds of things. The truth is, when you put in the work, it will pay off. Made me think about that because Steve Sarkisian quote tweeted and said, preach or whatever he said. And I'm glad that you have coaches specifically in college that are out there, you know, backing LeBron on this because it's, can I tell you the truth? And I know we're a college football show. There was only one athlete in America that could say that and nobody say anything about it. He is the only athlete in America right now active, like active player. Okay, because Tom Brady's been saying it. Nobody says anything. Mm. Okay. LeBron goes out there and says, listen, bro, I'm one of the best, if not the best, to some people, basketball player of all time. You got to put in the work. So shout out to LeBron. I know people hate LeBron because of his political views, but we're just talking about sports on this one. But, you know, a guy who – never mind. I'm not going there. Okay.
Yeah, don't.
I'm not going there. Joe, it's kind of not really been reported, but it's something that's been hinted on, okay, not official yet, that former New England offensive coordinator, Penn State head coach, Houston Texans head coach, Alabama offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien, who was hired at Ohio State, which, by the way, had a fiery segment on Bill O'Brien when he was named the offensive coordinator of Ohio State. He could be staying put in the New England area and being the next head coach of Boston College. Your thoughts on this potentially happening?
So I don't necessarily have like sourcing on this, but I had heard this a number of different times from different people, having gone to school in New England and being in New England. It's kind of easy to kind of hear the bits and pieces and connections to stuff like this. So Bill O'Brien has a son who has a developmental disorder.
Yeah.
And he actually, this was not talked about when he left Alabama and he went to New England to be the offensive coordinator. A big reason why he did that is because the services, the education, the general treatment for his son is far better in the northeastern New England area. And I, as somebody with a cousin who has not as severe of a disorder, but I had family members in California that moved to New Jersey because they wanted to be in an area that has better resources for my cousin who has a developmental disorder. So it is commonly known in the country that the Northeast, New England, is meant for this stuff. So I think I'm bringing this up for any Ohio State fan who doesn't know this and is either pissed off at Bill O'Brien or is upset over this. Right. His reasoning for me, and you asked the question earlier of, what's worth more, you know, what's better, to be the head coach at Boston College or the offensive coordinator at Ohio State? The offensive coordinator at Ohio State is a better job, but because of all of these underlying factors, it makes a lot more sense for him to take this job at Boston College because he's from the area. He gets to go back where he's from. It helps him with the situation with his son. And then most importantly, Boston College is a place, as long as you get to a bowl game and you win 7 games and you don't dip below that on a consistent basis, it's a good job. You know, it checks the boxes. It's a good salary. You can live in a nice house in the Massachusetts area. You know, I think that's all he's really aspiring for. I think that's why he would ultimately end up taking this, and I think it's very likely that he does take it.
I'm just going to say this, okay, as someone who has 2 children, okay, I fully agree with what you just said in reference to that will play and can play a massive issue. You have to think about your family and what is the best for them. I'm going to stay out of that personally because I'm not aware of the area, what Ohio State does have. You know, are there?
Yeah, I don't know for sure, but it's just easy. Even if there is good resources there, it still is better for him to be close to where he's from. That's the general gist.
The first thing that comes to mind is Chris Peterson. Okay, Chris Peterson had someone in his family. That's why he never left Boston College. Mm-hmm. Scott Woodward got doctors involved when he hired Chris Peterson at Washington. I would assume that Bill O'Brien, when he took the offensive coordinator job at Ohio State, had probably some of these conversations. I would assume that he did. Let's talk about on the field football wise for just a minute. And I know that it plays a massive factor, but I don't want to put his child or his family on the back burner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's just talk about football now that we have acknowledged that that is something that is very much on his mind. Joe, it's not better to be the head coach of Boston College more than it is to be the offensive coordinator of this Ohio State team. It's not. Because with the talent that he has and what he could possibly do in the Big Ten could propel him to a bigger job and to a bigger place. Now, I understand what you said about his son. Well, he was in Houston for a long time. Mm-hmm. All right. So MD, you know, Houston has a lot of big time medicine. That's where a lot of people go for a lot of treatments in the South. They go to Houston. I understand all that. If I am Bill O'Brien, there is no way in hell from if it's just a football decision, a football move, I would give Ohio State a year. Like, because he's not going to have a better roster than he has right now. He's going into a complete rebuild that they tried to do at Boston College that he's not going to be able to overcome. He's not going to have success there. It's hard, hard, hard to win there. You got to be a hell of a recruiter to win at Boston College. He's not good enough of a recruiter. He's just not. Okay? When he had that stuff that went happen at Penn State, it was a completely different time, completely different scenario, complete different set of circumstances and kids that stayed there. I think it's a horrible move. I would not do it because, Joe, let me ask you this question. If them offensively, let's just say they do what we think that they can do, all right? Mm-hmm. And offensively, they're a juggernaut. There's going to be a head coaching job that opens, Florida. You mean to tell me his name won't come up? Because his name's going to come up. Whether you like him, love him, or hate him, his name will come up. Just like Mike Denbrock's name came up for LSU, just like all these other great offensive minded coaches, names come up every year. His name will come up. I wouldn't do it. He should not take the Boston College head coaching job to lose.
I understand what you're saying for him to yes, there is volatility to this. You know, there's a possibility that it's just too hard of a region to recruit. There's really, as somebody who played college football in New England, there's really not a lot of good football players in the state. I'm sorry to any New Englanders out there. There's just not. There's been an increase in the amount of quality recruits in Massachusetts that's gone up a little bit, but all of those kids leave. Like Zach Sinter's a really good example. He left to go to Michigan. Most of those kids will not stay in the area to play there. It is an uphill battle. It's an uphill climb. I just don't know, and I feel like Bill O'Brien is rarely going to be a guy that's brought up for big-time job opportunities. I feel like it would have taken multiple years for him to get to a point at Ohio State in order for him to earn the opportunity to take a bigger, better coaching job. It just feels like for how much he's gotten burned over the past – think about the last three jobs, Alabama, New England – Houston, Alabama, New England. The last three jobs, how badly he's gotten burned. He's been scapegoated. He's been blamed. He's been on his ass multiple times. I just feel like a guy like that has gotten to the point, again, remove the outsideness, those factors. It almost just makes more sense to take something that's got lower expectations. It's kind of like the Kyle McCord thing, which gets a lot of Ohio State fans upset over when you bring it up. It's better for him to go somewhere where there's no expectations. It's a little bit easier to win. And I know that sounds like a defeatist attitude, but for how much he's gotten kicked to the curb, you kind of have to take somewhere with lower expectations in order to build yourself back up.
I'm on the opposite. I think he's in a tailor-made place to build himself up because I don't think being at Alabama – the expectations are completely different because there's a he's not going through the juggernaut in the SEC that he's going to have to go through at Ohio State, and he's got a loaded roster.
I'm not saying he wouldn't succeed at Ohio State. I think that he would have. We talked about this, and I said that the move was good for both sides and that he was going to work out and he was going to be a really good coach there. But I just don't know if two straight years of him being the offensive coordinator at Ohio State gets him a premier job. And I don't know. I just, if he's even considering this, I feel like he has an aspiration to return home to be in Boston. That's just the way that I feel about it. And at least that it seems on the outside.
Yeah. And look, maybe that's true. Maybe he does want to be in the New England area, but it doesn't change the fact for me that I think it's a horrible move. And I do think that he can. I do think that he can't have Joe. Let me ask you this question. Let me just throw this your way. Ohio State's going to be in the preseason a top four team, right? Maybe even a top two team. God bless it. What if they do play for a natty? Like, what if they do make a run here? He can get a premier job. And because you know why I say that? Here's why I say that. Because I think that there's going to be opportunities that open up. Actually, let me say it like this. How do I want to say it? Sources. Okay? Throw that out there if you want to. There are going to be coaches that leave or get fired next year at places that we have no idea that are going to open. It's going to be bigger than this one. It's going to be bigger than this year. I think it rivals on the 2021 at the end of the 2021 year, where you have a potential, okay, of some big time moves happening. So if that comes to pass, all right, Joe, you could have multiple. Mario Cristobal goes 6-6 again. What happens at Miami?
It's a fair point, but
okay.
I would bring up though how often do these coordinator jobs? Sorry, how often do these head coaching jobs at all of the big premier schools? They very rarely hire coordinators.
He's different because he's
like been Jeff Lebby's a more realistic example that he would get like a Mississippi State type job. And I don't know what a correlative example is.
Considering that it's in a power four.
Yeah, but you're not going to win a national title at that's.
Well, I'll throw this out there. I would much rather be at Mississippi State than Boston College.
It's harder to win at Mississippi State.
I completely disagree.
Telling me that Mississippi State's level of we can't do this where talk about and really hype up the SEC's level of competition and then say that it's easier to win at Mississippi State. Mississippi State is historically one of the worst teams
what
in the SEC.
What happens if Boston College goes to the Big Ten and is not pampered by being in the ACC?
That schedule's still easier to win. If they went to the Big Ten, it's still easier to win.
It's easier in Mississippi than it is in New England.
Yeah, it is. But he's they still play an easier players. Schedule. Still play a much better schedule, though. Mississippi State plays a harder schedule.
Ask you this question: who did Arizona's only loss in the non-con come to this year?
And what did? Yeah, but what was their record at the? What was Mississippi State's record at the end of the season? They missed the
All I'm saying, and they're a field goal away from beating 11-win Ole Miss.
That's my point. As good as they were, they still sucked.
Okay, he could get one of those jobs. Don't go to Boston College. If it's just an on the field thing, Joe, it is better to be at Ohio State. There's a reason that Jeff Hafley left. And look, I'm going to throw this out there. I know that he's not going to probably completely care that I say this. We talked about him. Our buddy Jake Crane. All right? Mm-hmm. Jeff Hafley apologist. Okay? He's going to hate that I said that. All right? He comes out, says that what's going on in college football ain't got no reason why Hafley left. It's what we talked about. You can't win there. You can't win, Rock.
Let me ask you this, though, and I mentioned this earlier. What direction does Ohio State go in if this
does? If Joe O'Brien leaves, where do they go? Joe, to be honest with you, here's the thing for me. I think it's a good question, but I don't understand the level of panic that's out there on Ohio State if Bill O'Brien leaves. I like Bill O'Brien. I like him a lot. Last two times he was an offensive coordinator in college football, he averaged over 40 points. We've talked about that before. Ryan Day can still call plays. It's not as if that you're in a horrible situation offensively from a play calling standpoint. Now, where do they go? I really don't know. Okay, like I really don't. I I think it's a little too early. We don't know if O'Brien's going to take it yet. But I will just tell you, I'm not worried about Ohio State. I'm really not. From a play-calling aspect, I think Ryan could take it over. Because I told you earlier in the show, I went back and watched that Georgia game early this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, I know that he probably doesn't want to take the heat from being a play caller. Ryan Day can call plays. So I wouldn't panic yet if I'm Ohio State. And not like they are panicking, but I just don't go with who, look, I think Ryan Day is going to make a good enough hire either way. So regardless of who I say or what I say or who it may be, I do think that there are some play callers out there that I would give a buzz to see their level of interest. But I'm going to throw one out there to you. If he wants to stay around the NFL, I'm going to throw out a crazy-ass curveball to you. You ready?
Yep.
Eric Bieniemy's not staying in D.C.
Oh, I actually kind of like that. I actually really kind of like that because right now no opportunities have come to the table for him. And I think that would be a good move.
And I'm going to tell you, Eric Bieniemy's not getting head coaching jobs in the NFL for whatever reason.
That's a whole complex issue to talk about. And he made a poor decision putting his eggs in the basket of the Commanders, who were going to fall apart and collapse no matter what. He's a very brilliant offensive play caller. And if he does want to make this transition to the NFL game, or to the college game and test it out or just look for a bridge job if he doesn't end up getting hired, I would argue being the offensive coordinator at Ohio State does a lot more for you than being a quarterback's coach for an NFL franchise. I like the Bieniemy bring up there, which hasn't been brought up a lot throughout the cycle, because I think the last time we talked about this, there was an assumption that he would have stuck around in the NFL. The two that I brought up a while ago that I'm going to continually keep bringing up is Joe Moorhead, who's the Akron head coach, former Oregon offensive coordinator, was also the Penn State offensive coordinator, yeah. A brilliant offensive mind. Oregon's offense was...
And Paul's very quickly.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, was the Oregon offensive coordinator when Oregon went to Columbus and clapped them Buckeye cheeks.
No. That was
yeah.
Oh no, you are right. You are right. That was the year.
Joe Moorhead up into Columbus and clapped them Buckeye cheeks, baby.
Jason Candle is also somebody who I brought up last time, who I'm gonna continually bring up, who coach at Toledo is an offensive savant, has not really held an offensive coordinator job or a coaching job at the P5 level because he went from Mount Union to Toledo, and that's where he's remained. But the guy's a guru. We saw what the hell he did at Toledo this past year in the way that they played this past season. Anyone who pays attention to G5 football, they were putting up goofy numbers. And as we're just talking about here, the offensive coordinator job at Ohio State being better than Boston College, it for damn sure is a better job than the Toledo job. You, like you're talking about, I would argue you could at least position yourself if you're Candle and you take this and you have two good years into getting a quality head coaching gig. So I think that either of those options are great if they don't decide to go with what you're talking about, Bieniemy or somebody else.
This is kind of funny here.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Paul says, it's like I always say, I'm fat and out of shape, but I'm a monster against my son's 9-year-old's baseball team. May need an oxygen treatment after the play, but I'm a monster scoring every time I get the ball. I kind of thought that was funny.
Is that in agreement with what I said or with what you said? I saw that.
I don't know, but I think it's funny. What about Tommy Rees?
No. No, we're done. We're done with Tommy Rees. We're done. We're done. We're not doing this again. I'm not doing this again. Stay in the NFL time. He was expected to go to the NFL before Nick Saban hired him. There was a lot of rumors that he was going to end up in the NFL. I think that his play calling style is far more successful in the NFL. If that makes sense, because it's a lot more two tight end, run the football. If you don't have the hogs, that shit doesn't work. And if you don't have the quarterback that can throw the ball downfield, which he didn't have either time with Milroe or with Drew Pine, it doesn't work. So yeah, no, he needs to stay in the NFL. I would revolt if I was an Ohio State fan and I hired Tommy Rees. I would be pissed.
Very true. Joe, we've had a couple of questions about this. Do you want to bring up the Dartmouth situation very quickly?
Yeah, let's talk about it. I'll let you lead it in if there's anything you want to add in here.
Joe, I'm going to leave out a little context here because people can go read it. We don't have the time to read it at the current moment. But it was announced today that the Dartmouth men's basketball team is going to be deemed employees of the school. It's kind of a big deal. It's kind of not a big deal. What do you make about Dartmouth men's basketball being considered in a press release today as employees of the university?
So for those that don't remember, Northwestern had
a football show, but yes, we have to talk about this because it impacts obviously everything.
Yeah. Andy Staples pointed this out. I saw on Twitter that back when Northwestern did this, similar ruling came down and nothing came of it because there's not really any jurisdiction for the state schools for them to demand that they do it. I will say though, that the timing of this might be more effective now than it was back in 2014, because back in 2014, there was no thought of what NIL is right now. There was no consideration of what was happening right now. And we're on the cusp of, as we talked about on yesterday's show, of there being separation of two major conferences. And I'd be willing to bet in the advisory committee with the SEC and the Big Ten, this will get brought up. This will get brought up that the Labor Relations Committee, or I forget what the name of the exact department is, this is probably going to be one of the early things that is discussed, saying if this was brought up at Dartmouth, it's going to get brought up at other schools, so we might as well get ahead of this. If we're trying to start from scratch, we might as well come prepared instead of trying to retroactively change things. That's my earliest read on this.
The only thing I'm going to say, you can make them employees, but if you don't have things in line, okay, before you make them employees, it's going to get nasty. Because, Joe, let me tell you, if you're going to make them employees, we talk about revenue sharing. You know what's something else that I thought about? I can hire and fire whoever I want at any given moment.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point of if we have some sort of players union put together, the players are going to need to agree. There has to be negatives for the players. The players need to be willingly able to agree that I can get kicked off this team at any point in time.
You
can't get an
18-year-old kid to agree on anything. You think that you're going to put them all in a room and ask them to agree on a couple of things that negatively benefit them?
It's get just out like of the here. The NFLPA has lawyers that represent them. There's going to probably be former players that might be agents or lawyers that would probably handle something like this. Again, it's a very complex issue. I have no idea how it's going to end up working out, but yeah, I mean, guys need to be willing to get fired. But with Title IX is also something that if this does happen, is going to get completely.
Can I throw something out here to you? I know we're going to get popped on this, or I'll get popped on this. Maybe you won't. I'm so sick of hearing about Title IX. Go ahead.
All I was going to say is I just don't think that Title IX has any relation to players getting paid. It shouldn't.
Here's the truth. All right. When it comes to Title IX in college athletics, it's like it's like an episode of Whose Line Is It Anyway? The points are made up and nothing really matters. Okay. When it comes down to it, all right, women's tennis does not make money that baseball, basketball, football does. It just doesn't. Yeah. And you can label me whatever you want to label me as, all right? But we got to call it what the truth is. I just think that when people throw out Title IX as an issue of why we can't figure things out, it's a lazy, dumb excuse.
Well, at the end of the day, I don't even think what I'm trying to say here is I don't even think it factors in, because the minute that we enter this new world and this new realm of athletes will get paid, the only sports that are going to compete on this model are probably women's basketball, baseball, but there's going to be far less schools for men's and women's basketball, probably baseball and football. That's realistically the most that we're going to be able to fund with revenue from these sports. That's all we're going to be able to put together. And that's why I'm saying that Title IX does not factor into this, because there's no money to be had for them. They're not making any money. Mathematically, it won't work for the money coming from these other sports to funnel in. It just won't.
They want to be employees. Because at minimum, they're going to get paid something, because you have to pay an employee.
Yeah, I think that's something that's going to get brought up, but actually doesn't really have much play into this at all. But no, again, just,
you know what businesses do all the time? When you hire somebody, the scholarship, all of that is like onboarding when you go into a new job. Joe, I'm assuming, okay, I don't know. But like if Believe, all right, our mother company, all right, y'all are going to the Super Bowl this week. Okay, well, if they bring on a new employee, they send them wherever, they're onboarding them. That's an expense that they have to take on. Them going to class, you know what's going to be funny? Let me tell you what's going to happen. They're going to have to pay kids to go to class.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a very good point, that there's probably going to be, and we're talking about the negatives that athletes would have to adhere to in order to guarantee their salary.
Good luck.
They have to maintain here's a factor here too, is that players can now get fined realistically. Players could get fined and docked pay if they don't go to class, they don't maintain their grades. I'm sure all of that is going to come into play. These are all the messy details that I haven't heard get talked about,
because nobody wants to discuss them,
no,
even though we should. All right, we'll probably spend some more time on that, but we need to get to some more of these other things. You want to get to Steve Belichick really quickly?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So, Joe, it was reported today that Steve Belichick, son of NFL GOAT Bill Belichick, is going to be the new defensive coordinator for the Washington Huskies. When it comes to a person and personality going to a place, I don't know if there's a personality that fits Seattle better than Steve Belichick.
So to that point, yes, absolutely. I always love to talk to people about this in California. Having dated somebody for a very, very, like a couple of months from Seattle, I can say that very, very unique personalities from people who come from Seattle. I'm not knocking. And it feels like Steve Belichick, as you're saying, does fit that. I absolutely think it does. But on a non-joking matter, I mean, this makes a lot of sense. Jed Fish was the quarterback's coach in New England, is about the same age as him, developed a relationship with him, and now goes on to bring him in. He was previously the outside linebacker's coach with the Patriots for a very long time. One of the best positions on the Patriots from 2020 on was the outside linebackers. It was Matt Judon. It was
They loved him. They came out today and they were celebrating that he's being the new DC at Washington.
The thing that bothered me is that when his name was brought up for defensive coordinator openings for other NFL staffs, everybody clowned this, because everybody always does this shit with the, you know, guys that are related to legends, either as players or as coaches. Mm-hmm. But you know what? At the end of the day, this guy has been around football his entire life and he's a damn good coach. I bet he's going to be a great defensive coordinator. He's going to be an awesome defensive coordinator.
I worry about a lot of things with this.
Why?
Joey's never recruited. He's never been in a living room. And I'm just going to tell you, there's a difference when you walk in a living room as an NFL coach versus a college coach. because you got to win over mama to allow her to let her son go to school there. I don't know if his personality walks into a room and wins.
I understand that aspect. And I would hope that here's the only reason why I'm not worried, though, is that, and we said this earlier, Jed Fish and most of that staff is very NFL oriented and they found ways to succeed. And I actually think that it's an interesting angle to pursue here. The fact that I think in the future, we could see more college teams as this sport changes, aspire to get NFL coaches to join their staffs because of the professionalization of the sport. It is a completely different measure now to know. One of the things that's always talked about with being an NFL coach is knowing how to manage the personalities in the locker room, guys that are making more money than you or as much money as you, and how they're going to act towards you when you try to give them orders. That is now something that is pushing a lot of college coaches away. I was on the phone with one the other day that had said that it feels very transactional. Maybe having somebody that's used to that world is going to work now.
It's a good point.
I got really distracted just because I was looking at so Belichick was at Rutgers. He played the cross there, and he was a long snapper. I'm all in.
Oh my God.
He was on the football team as a backup long snapper.
Jesus H. Is this why you're all in on, you're selling all your stock on Washington again this year?
Oh, yeah, now that I discovered that, absolutely.
Think he'll be a good play caller. I think it's good for Fish, who can bring in a guy that he trusts to call defense. All right, I just worry about recruiting. I worry about culture. You know, I worry about some of those things. But we don't know what we don't know, okay? And I will tell you this. We need to see him out of the shadow of his dad. And it's something that he's got to live up to. Like, we can say whatever we want. He's got to live up to it. Oh, my God.
What, the charity stripe comment that they threw in there? Yeah, I don't know if it's
Josh or...
It's Josh. That's the only thing that I do agree with you on that is that always comes with having to live up to those expectations. You immediately see Belichick, you're immediately going to hope, oh, this guy is going to be a phenomenal coach as soon as he steps in. And the minute that there's shakiness, there's going to be frustration. I mean, look at the Shulas, look at the Lombardis that have coached in the NFL. They haven't really done much. So that's the only thing I will agree that it could blow up in their faces and maybe not live up to the high expectations that come with it.
We'll see. All right, you want to get pleading the fifth. Blake, your beard looks great. Okay.
It's Josh. I got to sit in the car with him for 5 hours tomorrow.
Oh, God.
If we make it there, I'm the one driving.
Did you see that San Francisco was like the 49ers were pissed off that the grass at UNLV sucked?
Yeah, I mean, is that not the most – California thing ever? Pissy that the field's wet.
Man up a little.
To be fair, though, the Chiefs did get, you know, they did get the Raiders facility, which is obviously going to be nicer than the UNLV one, but like, how much of a difference is there?
Well, at this point, what are you, Joe? They're not practicing.
Yeah, it's walkthrough most of the time.
Come on. All right, let's do this. Let's talk about our good friends at Homefield Apparel really quickly. We got to talk about the Pac-2. We do that next.
Rufino and Joe Show is brought to you by Homefield Apparel, which is the best, without a doubt, premium collegiate apparel brand that is out there. They have over 150 different colleges that you can choose from, whether you're an Illinois fan or a Rutgers fan. Maybe you're an LSU fan like Blake, or maybe you're an Alabama fan. Whatever it is, even Idaho, they have so many different designs for so many different football programs that I can guarantee you're going to find some great stuff to help root for your favorite team. I've already gotten my Notre Dame stuff. Blake has his LSU stuff. Make sure you head on over to homefieldapparel.com to check out your team's collection of clothing apparel that they have on the website. And when you do so, when you check out, make sure you use promo code RuffinoJoe to get 15% off your order. That is RuffinoJoe, Ruffino Joe. Head on over to homefieldapparel.com and get your college gear today.
Speaking of the NFL, I'm hearing some whispers
of
the NFL draft. Okay. I said this a month ago. Jaden Daniels was projected ninth. And I said that I would get a Texas Longhorn tattoo on my ass if he was going to be anywhere out of the, you know, he's going to be in the top five. Then I came back and said he's going to be in the top three. And then I came back and said he's going to be in the top two. Funny. I don't know, man.
To quit taking his victory. How many times are you going to take this victory lap?
I don't know. Actually, I wasn't going there, but I will now. I don't know, Joe, if there's not a team that is actively trying to pursue to get it number one. Remember, on February the 5th, this day of our Lord of 2024.
Jay Daniels isn't going first overall.
I think he might. I think he's there's not a going, team.
I don't believe that.
Okay.
I'll eat another shoe if he goes first overall.
Let me write this down.
Yeah, write it down. Write down the date. Write down the timestamp. He's not going first overall.
Caleb Williams does not want to go to Chicago.
Even if that happens, Chicago would trade out of the pick and somebody else would take Caleb Williams. Not doubting that Jaden Daniels is an extremely talented player. He is. He's an absolutely... Did I say a hat the first time? I just added a shoe to the table. God damn it. He's not going first overall. He's just not. Caleb Williams is different prospect.
Do not count out the Raiders being a player and moving up. You heard it here first.
It would be too expensive for them to move up to number one to realistically take him.
Okay.
They could move up to two or to three. I don't think that's realistically possible.
Remember what you told me last time, something was realistically impossible and he won the fucking Heisman.
No. I didn't say that it wasn't realistically.
Pack two. Okay. I'm doing this. A lot of this is me really trying to get under your skin.
Yeah, exactly.
Joe, today there was an article that came out that said that the Pac-2 has not made a decision yet or given any clarity to the college football playoff in reference to what they're going to do with their automatic bid. I'll let you start off here. What are your thoughts on the Pac-2 not giving in on their automatic bid?
Yeah, I just don't think that they've got any footing right now. I don't think there should even be an argument. This is being brought up in this discussion of moving from six auto bids to five and seven open qualifiers. I don't think that they've got any ground to stand on. This isn't going to happen. They're not going to end up being in the mix. And I brought up earlier at the beginning of the show, unless they realistically convince the Mountain West to form the Pac-12 and become its own conference, even if that does happen, that's still a G5 conference. We need to maintain the fact that it stays as 5-7. I do not believe that there is any ground for Washington State or Oregon State or any of these Mountain West teams to be considered to be a Power 5 conference, and we shouldn't be forced to let them into the playoff because they feel like they have that footing.
They do have the footing, legally.
Yes, they do legally.
Why should they give in?
I'm not saying that they shouldn't give in and they're going to fight their fight, but as an outside spectator of this, I think it's a waste of time. Don't you agree?
I agree that it's a waste of time. I don't want, you know, Oregon State or Washington State to constantly be in there when they don't deserve to be in there. I agree as a spectator, I don't want them in there. I do fear that they're going to get that the Pac-2 is going to do, you know, is going to probably take legal action and the college football playoff is going to have to pay them off to get them out of there. I don't know if you make them a group of five. I don't know what happens here, but here's what I do know. Okay. I loathe. And when I say loathe, I absolutely despise the notion when anybody tells me that a group of five team deserves ever to be in a top 12 of a playoff.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? What about UCF, Mr. Blake? If UCF would have faced some of these teams that were in the four-team playoffs, they would have gotten their teeth kicked in. They would have gotten their teeth kicked in. And I just got to tell you, the Pac-2 is going to be the exact same. Joe, Washington State is going to have an Adam Sandler-sized brown bag dookie dump lit on fire if they get to the playoffs, and they're going to get their teeth kicked in. It's going to be worse than Georgia TCU. Excuse me. It's going to be bad. Why do we do this? Pay them. Get rid of it. That's all I got to say. I mean, we never have answers. We need a commissioner.
Which maybe we get soon. But to your point, teams like Tulane and Cincinnati, they're outliers. Those are not teams that we get on a consistent basis. The team that we had with Liberty is more in line with what we get with the best G5 team. That's what's the most realistic. And despite them putting up their best effort, got smoked by a skeleton Oregon team. Smoked. Wasn't even close. It was close for like a minute, and then they got smoked. No, I agree with you. I mean, I think that's the most bullshit part of any of this, that there's even any, you know, little pat on the head. You guys get to participate too. You guys get to be in this too. Go ahead. As somebody who follows FCS football, and that's a 24-team field, there are plenty of teams from these lower-level conferences, a non-scholarship conference to that in the Pioneer League, that puts teams out, and they get smoked every single time in the first round. It's almost never close. So I don't need to see that. We have enough of an example with the FCS to say, just because they're a playoff does not mean that we need to offer up opportunities for them.
I just don't want to see it. It's the reason why I didn't want to see Florida State in the playoff. I'm just being real. I honestly think Michigan, if Michigan would have played Florida State in the Rose Bowl, let's be real for just a moment. What would have happened?
It would have been close. It would have been fine.
That concludes tonight's show. They would have gotten Patty smacked.
I think they would have played them just as close as Alabama did.
No, they wouldn't have. Yeah, don't you dare say Jalen Milroe was as bad as what we saw at the quarterback position from Florida State the last 3 weeks that they played football.
Florida State, okay, I'll agree on being a little bit bullish, but it would have been at most a 7-point football game.
What?
It would have at most been a 7-point football game.
They would have beaten him by 21 plus.
That's not true. We did this already. Tate Rodemaker might not have been great, but he was competitive. They weren't winning. They would not have beaten Michigan. I don't disagree.
They barely could score 7 points against Florida or Louisville. And you think it's going to be a 7-point game
Washington against Michigan? Washington got their asses kicked because they didn't have the bodies on their offensive or defensive line. Florida State has that. Florida State at least had Washington
could score and did.
They would have kept Michigan out of the end zone. They would have stopped the run game way more.
Washington wouldn't have passed the 50-yard line. I mean,
they would have put points on the board. The
50-yard line.
They would have held Michigan under 20 points, 21 points, and they would have at least scored one touchdown. I'll concede 10. I'll give you 10.
You know what it would have been like? It would have been like, never mind.
Don't say it. That what are you going to say, Notre Dame, Alabama?
I got to say it. No, you know what it would have been like?
What?
Florida State would have gotten their shit kicked in so bad, Bubba would have taken his pocket out like they were in prison and made Michigan would have made them hold their pocket.
All right, let's end the show on that.
Big Bubba would have been in that cell doing ungodly
things. Oh, my God. I have no counter comment to that.
Prison F. Deep, dark prison F. With no lube, soap, or shower.
I got no counter comment.
See y'all Wednesday, we hope. Till then, peace.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.